Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Hi, folks. Just a warning. This episode contains some strong language. On May 18, 2001, the Garifuna, an Afro-American language, music, and dance was proclaimed by UNESCO as a masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity. Andy Palacio from Belize was one of the most famous Garifuna artists. And there's also Paula Castillo, who sings Garifuna Paranda music, and she is from Guatemala. And even now, when you go to Honduras, you would definitely hear Garifuna Punta, which is a lot faster and more mainstream. And as often people recognize it as part of Honduran music, but this music is from the Garifuna population and of the Garifuna people. The fact that the Garifuna language and culture still survive Central America today is an understatement. Even with the growing visibility, especially when it comes to Garifuna music and culture, the Garifuna language is currently in jeopardy and is disappearing. The first three episodes was centered on my roots as a Black Caribbean Afro-Central American woman.
On this episode, we will hear about Milton, who is a Garifuna teacher who made it his mission to take action to save the Garifuna culture and language.
We have to do a great job in order to rescue our culture. So the call is for everybody. It's our responsibility to save our language, to save our culture, and to educate about it.
On the season of The Labyrinth of the First Gen, we will explore a conversation about what we carry with us and what we redefine. We are pioneers just by simply existing. Spoken Garifuna is a dialect comprised of West African influences as well as Carib, Arawak, Amerindian languages and some elements of French, as well as some influence from Spanish and English. There's an estimated 600,000 Garifuna people across Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Belize, and the United States. And there are approximately 133,600 native speakers, with Honduras having the highest prevalence of the Garunagu population. I grew up in a household not speaking the Garifuna language, which is the case for most Garifuna people, not only people of Garifuna descent growing up in the United States, but also this is the case for Garifuna communities back in Central America, in the places where we're from, which includes Belize, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. The times that I would hear the Garifuna language was when my mom was speaking on the phone to relatives back in Belize or when we were around family, Belizean family and friends, which was quite often. So I remember going to my aunt's house and me and my cousins would be playing and my aunts and my mom would just be laughing. And I always secretly wondered if they were talking about us, right? Because I couldn't understand what they were saying. I can only pick up maybe a few words. My curiosity about my language and culture grew after college. And I remember there was a day when I was like, I have to learn my language. I typed in Garifuna lessons in New York City. And the first thing that popped up was Casa Yurume, which is an Afro-Central American Garifuna Cultural Center. Casa Yurume was founded in 1992 and opened a physical space in 2008. It closed during the pandemic and has since reopened in Mount Haven, which is also located in the South Bronx. And that is where I met Milton, who was the teacher of the Garifuna classes.
My name is Milton Agüiti. I am a Garifuna person. I was born in Corozal, Honduras. It's a Garifuna town near La Ceiba. I've been here for the last 6 months, but I live in New York City.
Can you explain what Garifuna is?
Garifuna is the ethnic group that was originated from St. Vincent and the Grenadines in the 1600s. And throughout the colonization, they were submitted to so many fights against the Europeans, in this case against the British and the French, when they were trying to possess the land. At the end, our ancestor, the Garinagu people, Garifuna, lost the fight and they were placed on the island of Baliso and taken to Central America, to the island of Roatan in 1797. Precisely on April 12th, they arrived in Roatan. And we are in April, and then recently, or 2 days ago, it was a commemoration. In my case, I don't celebrate, I commemorate because I remember and the loss of so many lives.
I refer to Milton as the Garifuna historian. He's a person I turn to for all things and all questions that I have about the Garinagu people, history, you name it. I was curious about what led to Milton's passion to teach the Garifuna language. What was his story?
Part of what my passion for what I do for the Garifuna community is to teach the Garifuna language, knowing that my children has the right to know their mother tongue, to give the opportunity to so many people that to learn the language, those who haven't had the opportunity to learn it at home. So anybody could join the class.
In his class, we learned the Garifuna alphabet. We learned how to say Irabinya, how are you? We learned how to say Kabiri, what is your name, right? So really starting from scratch and learning and developing a new connection to a language that I always heard my mother speak, but a language that I never spoke. He is not only a Garifuna teacher, he is one of the few Garifuna translators for asylum seekers for the Garinagu population that are coming from Central America seeking a better life and need translation services.
It's similar to when I start teaching the language, right? I said to myself, if I know the language, I know I can teach. Even I've been out self-teacher, I could say that, because I've been teaching myself throughout the process, because we had a couple books, but it was not enough, you know, reading the books and how to explain the books to the students. The interpretation, I could say it is similar to the way I've been teaching the language. I've been learning from the process. Doing the interpretation, I understood it was a right for whoever need to be communicated, whoever need to communicate in his original tongue, because so many people arrive in the in the diaspora in New York City without knowing English. They presented their cases, but they say, no, I need to hear you in my language because I have the right to hear you in my language. And then I do that with a lot of love, a lot of passion for our people. And in spite of the money they pay, but my gratitude is seeing the face of the person receiving the interpretation. When they smile at you, wow, this is interesting. I love this. And then they feel better, you know, when they hear their mother tongue, you know. And then that's a great joy. But it's interesting. We need more people to do that because this is part of our of constant rescue of our language. If I had the chance to help someone to learn how to do interpretation, I will do it because we have to keep preparing the next generation.
I want to ask a little bit more about like what you do. You said you teach Garifuna classes. Can you talk about when that started? And why?
It started when I was living in New Orleans in 1997. And precisely because I realized that my children needed, that they really have the right to know their father's and their mother's language, original language, not only Spanish or English. And then I got together a few children. They were living in certain area where we were living in New Orleans. And then I every afternoon after school time, I used to get together with them and then teach them how to say Da Viña. And then I had to do it.
You're speaking a little bit about your children and the importance of learning their language. Was Garifuna something that you taught your kids growing up? And if you can talk a little bit more about your kids grew up in the United States or Honduras, and did that have any influence on whether or not you taught them the Garifuna language?
I was really worried about them because growing up in the United States, exposed to English language and sometimes Spanish, I realized they have to know who they are, where they come from. And then that's why I have to be strong in that part, make them understand that they have a culture different than the rest of the people that surround them.
I'm gonna go a little bit back. And what was your decision to leave Honduras to come to the United States?
In Honduras, I was working in with the government. Let me say it in Spanish. Maybe I could translate it to English better than that. Contaduría General de la República. That was the office in charge of the accountants of the Republic, doing the accounting of the Republic. I used to travel all over the country, making sure everything that the government was buying was real, you know, because so many things happened with Honduras government. And then my office was in charge to verify that whatever they were buying, it was there. And then we had to report it and then make the check, you know, to be paid. It was really interesting because at the same time I was studying in the university to become a auditor. I wanted to be an auditor. And then the work and the study I was doing, it was really compelling. It was really going good for my future. And then my family, from my wife's side, her mother applied for her, and then I had to go with them. Basically, I didn't have no plan, but family come first, and then I had to make my move. So when I moved to United States, even I knew I was already speaking English, but the shock was to find a job suitable for me. I began from the scratch, basically, from zero. You know, recommended by my friends, certain places, jobs that I never saw myself I was going to do. You know, I don't even want to describe them, but I did it for the sake of my family. I needed to provide. And throughout the time, you work your way up because you didn't move to the United States to stay in the same level. Going to college, you know, finding that what they so-called American dream, even that was not my idea. It was, for me, my main goal, it was to make a decent life, to provide to my father.
What was your experience growing up like in Honduras as a Garifuna person?
Well, as a child in our community, you live a normal life. Everybody looks like you. Everybody speaks your language. Everybody behaves like you, right? So there was no difference in there.
Milton told a story that was similar to that of my mother, who talked about what was it like moving out of the Garifuna communities and how they faced discrimination when they moved to cities or when they were seeking better opportunities elsewhere.
The culture shock is when you have to go to the city, especially after the sixth grade, when you have to start the junior high. And then when you see yourself surrounded by other people and facing discrimination, calling you names because they don't look like you or you don't look like them, and they were always denigrating you. And even that, we have to face it and then fight sometimes for who we are. So see me for who I am, not for the color of my skin.
Milton talked about his experience with discrimination when he joined the Honduran Armed Forces and how shocking that was to him.
And then I faced that even when I was taken to the army in Honduras. It was another stage in my life too, facing constant discrimination. The perception here is some people accept us, but there is a majority that you have to continue educating them all the time, letting them know that you have the same right as they have. When your perception is not accepted as a natural, it's basically the discrimination goes over all the time. And then when they realize that we are more than, I think around, I don't know if it's 5-10% of the Honduras population. And the thing is that we represent, most of the time we represent the country in sport, in so many things. And then even that they don't want to accept us, you know, as part of this global thing in the country.
We can see the implications of discrimination. Nicaragua is a very special case where the Garifuna language has almost completely been lost from the effects of ongoing discrimination.
I think wherever we are, especially here in Central America, we're facing the same experience. I believe that that's why they lost the language in Nicaragua, because of that discrimination. Wherever they went, don't talk about this. Don't do this. Don't talk this language here. They were insulted. And then they took the decision not to talk in the language to their children. And then once you don't talk the language or communicate in your language to the children, they are growing, we are dying, and then the language is going to disappear. That's what happened in Nicaragua when we went and do the filming in there. With my son, the experience we have, they explained that to us.
One of the questions that you're probably asking is, why is the Garifuna language being lost? And part of the conversation that we had was around the perception of the Garifuna people, not only in Honduras, but across the diaspora, and how that affects the language more generally.
We're going to take a little break and we will discuss these questions when we return.
The episode's Labyrinth of the First Gen will be released every Tuesday. Follow me on Labyrinth of the First Gen on IG. We are looking forward to being a part of your journey.
And we are back. This is the Labyrinth of the First Gen.
In Honduras, Milton explained that one of the reasons why the Garifuna language is being lost is school system in Honduras.
Basically, in Honduras, it happened from the school system. Originally, when the schools were founded in the Garifuna communities, one of the things they did, not allow the children was to speak Garifuna in the premises. They used to say, do not speak that guru guru here. We faced that. My generation faced that. And then that's why many of actual children don't speak Garifuna now, because the government was enforcing it long time ago. And then the towns near the city, you ask a child, ¿Ida bien? Bien, gracias. Responding in Spanish. It really hurt, because it's a sign that our language and culture is at risk. If we don't do nothing about it, in 50 years, it will disappear.
There are also a lack of governmental programs and governmental initiatives to protect the longevity of the Garifuna language when it comes to teaching it in schools, when it comes to providing more opportunities within Garifuna communities.
Many people from the towns, they have to send their children to the city to learn better. Because in our towns, the looks like the way they teach is not elevated to the level of competition when the children get out of the town. So all that, we need to be conscious about it, and then to do a better job, because we have to prepare the next generation better than us. That's the struggle that we have to continue, you know, doing and facing all the time. The government has so many treaties, or they are signatories of many United Nations orders or whatever we call it, contracts, and they barely do it. You know, they barely teach the language in the schools, because it's 90% Spanish and 10% Garifuna. So how are our children going to learn the language if it's not spoken at home? There should be another place to learn it, even in the school. And then we have to do something about it.
Even though there's Garifuna throughout the diaspora, people are still not teaching their children the language. Even when going to Belize, the majority of my cousins don't speak Garifuna. What are your thoughts on parents or grandparents today in a Garifuna nation that are not teaching their children the language?
The parents are not doing, you know, are not doing, you know, fighting against the loss of the language. I walk through my corozal and I speak Garifuna, Ida bien. But what is happening? I observe something, that they know that I don't like to listen Spanish in there from them. And they talk to me in Garifuna. The grown-up people, they say, Ida bien, are you, you know? Because they know I don't want to hear Spanish from you. Talk to me in Garifuna. We are in a Garifuna town. This is the message that we have to, you know, keep doing. You know, say hi, say, you know. See, this is what we need.
A growing issue across the Garifuna diaspora in Central America is the issue of land and territory. Currently, the Garifuna are protected under Indigenous Land Acts. There's ongoing development for tourism in Garifuna protected area, and violence against Garifuna leaders in their communities, especially if they're speaking up around land rights. This has also led to a lot of people fleeing to the United States any way they can to seek asylum. But this also, as Milton put it, has grave implications if, you know, everybody is fleeing. Their access to land or protection over land is also going to disappear, because there will be no one left to fight for that.
There's a lot of Garifuna people leaving Central America to the United States, right?
Yes, it's a lot of people, because they don't find opportunities here. The government doesn't create the atmosphere. So even you graduate, you can't find a job if you are not part of the political, you don't have a political connection here. People have no choice. They have to leave because they want to better their life. And this is sad because we cannot leave, all of us. Somebody has to stay. Someone has to remain here in order to, for us not to lose our land, the properties. It's not that I am against people leaving, but what's going to happen in the future? But maybe they are doing it as a social engineering for us to leave. We have to think about it too.
Now there's a significant population of Garinagu outside of the Central America diaspora. The South Bronx is a hub for the Garifuna population, particularly the Honduran Garifuna population.
Milton also talked about, with the growing diaspora in the United States, that is also our responsibility to think about ways to teach the language.
Our leaders, wherever we are, because in New York, California, and Chicago, people in New Orleans, Texas, the population is growing in there. We need an awakening and take the responsibility that we have to. We are called to do it. Because our children should not grow up without identity.
Still, there is a struggle for parents to teach their children at home the Garifuna language, similar to my experience.
The diaspora is growing in New York City constantly. And then the identity of those children has to be reinforced constantly, all the time. And then other thing is that when members of the Garifuna community go into the diaspora, they realize the value of the culture they've been carrying. Because when they go to New York, they see the examples of other communities. They see the Chinese speaking in his language. They see the Korean speaking in his language, the African is speaking in his language. And then they realize, wow, what happened to me? Why I cannot speak my language? Why I cannot pick up and know who I am? And then that phenomenon has helped so many people to understand who they are. And then they have to continue saving this culture, but that which is good. But why you have to leave your area, your town, to understand that? Okay? So you have to have it strong in your roots in order to take it with you wherever you go. We have to find places in New York where our children should go and learn the language, learn how to play the drums, learn how the Garifuna cook, all everything that is essential to maintain our culture.
And Milton talked about how Casa Yurume is that place, a place where the Garifunas can find community when they are participating with their culture. They are surrounded by other Garifunas or Garinagu in their neighborhood, in their area. And it's really exposing them to their culture, even outside of Central America.
It has become a place where enforce the identity of the Garifuna nation. They have programs in there, like the Miss Garifuna event, like the classes I have been teaching in there. And there are many events like the sale of Garifuna food. And then it's a place where the people feel, they feel so special. They feel themselves as a Garifuna. It plays a role in the community. It is interesting to know, wow, there is a place where I could go. And then I see people just like me. There is a place where we can have an event. It's a place where our children could get together. It was really noted, especially when the pandemic came in, and then the place has to shut down for a certain time. Everybody was missing it. Now, thank God, it's operating again. It's operating again. So we have a place like that. The call is for everybody to acknowledge Casa Yurume as the area that we need to get together, so our children could connect among each other.
Milton did mention that there are a couple of Garifuna leaders, particularly in Honduras, that are bringing attention to not only the Garifuna language, but also rights to land and territory in Honduras, and just making sure that there is visibility.
Recently, there was a congressman, you know, claiming at Honduras Congress that what has happened with all the laws that needed to be promoted for the Garifuna people. You know, one of them is the 10% that need to be higher in all the businesses. And then that discrimination goes on, continue. But if we don't, we have voices in the different areas of our people to claim what is right for us, if we could generate change. But like that congressman did, it was really interesting to see it. Even he almost feel like a cry talking about the abandonment.
There has been some significant strides in communities across the United States as well. For example, the Garifuna population organized in New York City around getting the Garifuna ethnicity on the 2020 census. And there's other things that Milton also mentioned about how the Garifuna communities are organizing throughout the diaspora, specifically in New York City.
New York City, we are well known. Recently, there were members of the Garifuna community at the City Hall, part of the celebration of the Garifuna Heritage Month.
At the end of this episode, I really wanted to center in on where do we go from here? We know that this is an ongoing issue, but what are some steps that we can take to address it?
What do you see as far as your role in continuing, you said, the Garifuna language? Where do you see your future in that?
Yeah, I would like to begin a campaign here in Honduras. An awakening in every communities, in every community. Get the message to the parents, to the children, that we have to maintain our language. If it's possible, travel from community to community, get the organization, talk to the organization, talk to the groups, talk to the parents about the necessity today, not tomorrow, today, of rescuing our language. Because it's disappearing, and it's depressing when you see children, when you try to talk to them in Garifuna. They respond to you in Spanish. Even they say, I don't understand. The call is today. And to the members of our nation, wherever we are, wake up.
So a question that I thought about was, what should be done about this situation? And Milton responded by saying that there should be a call to action for Garifuna leaders across the diaspora, including the United States, around efforts to preserve our culture.
Well, my message is it takes the whole village to raise a child. So which means that we have to be aware of us, aware of what is the direction we have to take our Garifuna nation. And to the leaders, set aside your selfishness. Don't think about you. Think about this nation. Think about those that were sacrificed when in the journey from San Vincent to Central America. Think about those are buried in Baliso. Think about those were thrown away in the high seas in that journey from March 11 to April 12. That we have to honor their names. We have to honor their sacrifice. And then we have to thank them for what they did, for why this culture still here. But we have to do something. We have to do a great job in order to rescue our culture. I would not like to enter in my transition knowing that the risk continues. So the call is for everybody. It's our responsibility to save our language, to save our culture, and to educate about it. Those who want to vulgarize the way our dance is performed, educate them too. We need a lot of campaigns to be doing. I call those artists, do your best too, because you are called to save the way we dance. Save the name of our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, they used to not dance like that, you know. Wabarogo, seriamente.
This episode of The Labyrinth of the First Jam was produced by me.
So I want to just say sereme to Milton, which means thank you for his infectious energy and dedicated work to saving the Garifuna language. This wraps up the three episodes that focus on my roots, and next week we will launch into episodes that are coming up that are focused on first-gen folk and them sharing their experience, their stories, and their wisdom with you. With that, ayo, goodbye, and be in peace, folk.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.